Hi, you're listening to audio from The Dwelling. We hope you enjoy the message, and for more information, please visit us online at www.thedwellingtx.org.
After the Sabbath, the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the land of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. For the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause the people to inherit the land that I swore to your fathers to give to them. Only the strong and the very courageous will be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and be courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people. Prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And the Reubenites, the Gadites, the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your livestock shall remain in the land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But all the men of valor among you shall pass over armed before your brothers and shall help them until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as he has to you, and they also take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the Lord, to the land of your possession, and shall possess it, the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan to the sunrise, toward the sunrise. And they answered Joshua, all that you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command them shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous.
Awesome. Man, that's a long one. Ooh, baby. Got a little long there, but that's okay. I wanted you guys to hear just chapter 1 of Joshua. That's where we're going to be spending some time. Let me say a prayer, and then we're going to dive in here. Lord Jesus, open up our hearts. Open up our hearts, not just our ears, our hearts, to your word, what you'd want to have us hear right now. Bless this next little bit of time, Lord. Help me just to, God, get out of the way. Let you be the one who's speaking. May only what is said be what you want said. Not a word more, not a word less. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome, guys. So we're going to be kicking off this series, Joshua, okay? And this series is about a guy named Joshua. Huh? That's where we're going to be spending some time. There's a book in the Bible called Joshua, and we're going to spend some time in it, okay? We're going to spend just a little bit of time in Joshua. And so if you have your Bibles, man, get into them. We have free Bibles in the back. If you need a Bible, make sure you grab one. Otherwise, we'll have all the stuff on the screen as well, okay? We have kids' Bibles back there too, so grab kids' Bibles or adult Bibles or whatever. But we're going to be spending a little bit of time in Joshua. So here's the scene. Here's the scene. Joshua is now like the leader of these, like probably somewhere around like a million people, okay? Like a million people-ish, we don't know exact numbers, that are coming out of slavery. So for 400 years, the people have been in slavery in Egypt, right? You remember that story? And then this guy named Moses comes on the scene. Have you ever seen the movie Prince of Egypt? Right? And they go through the Red Sea, so the sea parts all open, and they go, you know, walking across on dry land. Remember that? They come out of slavery for 400 years. They've been in there. They come out of slavery. And for the next 2 years, God is kind of having to move around a little bit. And God gives them the law. And there's some incredible stuff in there and incredible stuff. And then God brings them after 2 years to the land of Canaan, the land that he's promised them. Okay? And God says, okay, I want you to go into that land. That land is your land. And they're like, we don't want to go in that land. That land is filled with really scary looking people. Giants, soldiers, military mites, cities that are fortified. It's going to be too scary. And Joshua is one of the guys actually who's actually like, no, 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 we could do it. Let's go in there. God wants us to have this land. Let's go take it. And God ends up punishing the rebellious people by having them wander around the desert instead of entering the promised land. He has them wander around for another 38 years. 38 years later, just imagine that. Imagine being Joshua, who wants to go into the land, now has to wait 38 years because of all y'all. You know what I'm saying? 38 years later, they come again to the promised land. And then the worst thing ever happens. Moses dies. Moses dies in our text actually today, right? That's what it says. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses, my servant, is dead. That's how Joshua starts off. Now, here's what I want you to understand. Moses is probably, if not the, one of the most important Old Testament biblical characters. I mean, this guy is an incredibly important dude. I mean, along the timeline of God's, you know, stuff, in the Old Testament, I mean, this stuff back here, Moses is one of the most prominent guys. He's huge. He actually gets to talk face to face with God. God deals with Moses in a way he's never dealt with other people. Moses is an incredibly special dude, and now he's dead. And they still haven't entered into the promised land. Now just think about that. Moses has some incredibly huge shoes to fill. And God says to Joshua, he says, Joshua, you're the guy. You're going to be the one who fills these shoes. Imagine that. Just imagine the feelings going on. You're finally at the promised land. 38 years ago, you wanted to go in, but because of y'all, we can't go in. We got to go wander around the desert for another 38 years. 40 years total of wandering around. Right? And what are they up against? What are they up against? You know, when you get to the land, when you get to the Jordan River, okay? When you get to the Jordan River, you're coming from the east and going into the west, into Canaan. When you're doing that, when you're making that kind of stuff, and you start looking at who's there, you got a whole bunch of people. You have especially seven nations, but even underneath that, you have like kingdoms and all sorts of stuff. You got the Hittites who are there. You got the, I had to write this down, folks. Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and the Jebusites. Okay? Lots of ites, right? These seven nations are there. This is promised all the way back in Deuteronomy chapter 7 when God tells Moses and the people, he's like, those are the people. I'm going to give you their land. They're there now, but you're going to go take it over. Now, here's what's amazing. What's amazing is there's not just like one nation. There's seven. Meaning, these guys are battling each other all the time. They're always rubbing up against each other. You ever have that, you know what I'm saying? That neighbor that's just annoying, and so you're always rubbing with them. That keeps you on your defensive, keeps you on your A game a little bit, right? These guys have their swords. They're sharp. They're sharp swords. They fought each other. These are the real deal. These are like military people. This is G.I. Joe kind of people. The people of Israel, although they have some of that, they're more of like people that you'd find who work at like McDonald's. I got a picture of that up here. This is who they're dealing with. Joshua has an entire army of these people. They know how to flip burgers, right? They've been in slavery, and so they're kind of stuck. But they've been walking around the wilderness. Been walking around the wilderness for 38 years, 40 years. There's nothing special. God has already said these nations are stronger than they are, right? It's like these two and a whole army of them going up against like, you know, the Marines or something. It's just, this isn't going to end well. But Joshua and his faith is like, we can do this because we have God. But now Joshua's older, 40 years older, probably somewhere around 80 years old, if he's kind of in the similar age range as a guy named Caleb. We're not going to go there today, but we don't know exactly how old Joshua is, but he's getting older now. Joshua's probably thinking, man, if you could have just unleashed me 40 years ago, that's when I had it. No, you know, okay, we can do this, but it's going to be a little different. There's going to be an incredible challenge in front of us, right? And God meets Joshua right there. And I don't know if you heard it. But he meets Joshua right there, and he says this four times in Joshua chapter 1. What does he say? Be strong and courageous. Four different times we hear Joshua hearing those words, be strong and courageous. In the midst of this incredible, incredible hill that he's got to climb. Seven different nations. We got to go occupy this land. We got to go across the Jordan River. That's going to be crazy. We got to keep our people safe, our men and our women. We got to do all sorts of stuff that's got to happen. And now Moses is dead. He was kind of like the foundation. This is going to be incredibly difficult. And God speaks to him and says, be strong and courageous. Hazak, there's the Hebrew for strong. Be firm, firm up, unmoved. Like allow yourself, become unmovable. Strengthen yourself. And then emetz, which is similar. Courage, be strong, strengthened, courageous. I almost think of as I was kind of trying to study those two words a little bit, unmovable, and then get that unmovable thing on the move. You know what I'm saying? Become strong, and then get that puppy moving. I mean, I see trucks like that around here in Texas. You know, just jacked up. Get that baby hauling down the road. You know what I'm saying? Be strong and courageous. We're going somewhere. It's like get fired up. You know, like, bah, 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 bah. You ever do that? You ever just get fired up? You know, you just get ready to wash the clothes. Bah. You just get fired up. I'm going to go tackle this thing. You ever do that? Huh? Wash the dishes or something? Just kind of snap yourself around? As I was thinking about getting fired up, I had to show this quick clip from Over the Top in 80s movies.
He's trying to back out.
I said, you want it?
Why not?
All right. Let's get this table ready.
Let's go. Come on.
All right, show this guy something.
Come on.
Break it
off. I've been talking now, right?
Where are you going?
Gotta go to work.
Barley!
to my father.
Too bad.
Too bad.
I like this movie.
Yeah. All right, Tony!
Booyah! Man, I just had to show that, right? Slapping him up. Bah, bah, bah. You know, he's squeezing the little ball. And I love the, you know, put the hat backwards. Make the switch. Over the top. Go watch it. Anybody seen that movie? Okay, thank you. Oh, man. I was thinking everybody. No? Over the top. Sylvester Stallone. Fantastic movie. Love that movie. So, but that's, I envision that a little bit. Like, get yourself fired up. Come on, baby. You know, like, rah. Be strong. Be courageous. You got some stuff coming up. Let's get fired up. There's work to be. Did you catch that line? I can't talk now, son. I got to go to work. Right? Got to go to work. We got some stuff to do. We've been wandering around for 38 years. We got some stuff we need to do. Be strong. Be courageous. And as I was thinking about that, I was looking at this text, and I was like, yeah, but what does that mean? What is he supposed to like get in order to make that happen? And it's interesting because God's word actually tells us. He doesn't just say, be strong and courageous, kind of make it happen, slap yourself up. He actually roots it in something. See, look at this. Be strong and courageous because, and here's my four P words. And this is what I want to talk about just a little bit. Here's what I want to talk about, okay? The first one, you can throw them up loud because I'm forgetting them right now. Promises of God, that's where we're going, okay? God has given us certain promises. Joshua has been prepared by Moses, right? The presence of God goes with you and the people support you. This is what I want to spend. Just quickly, these four points, okay? Look at this first one. The promises of God. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. These are the four be strong and courageous moments. Verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Why? How? What am I connected to in order for that to happen? Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land, these McDonald's people, working people, to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers. I've promised this land to you. Yes, it's 600 years later. Let that teach you something. Let that teach you something. 600 years after God has come to Abraham and said, I promise to you on my own life. Go read it. It's an incredible picture where God actually puts Abraham to sleep and God himself makes the covenant and walks through the two halves of the animals, essentially saying, and this is what a covenant would look like at that time, essentially saying, if I break my covenant, you can kill me. God has absolutely promised this land to the people of Abraham's descendants. Absolutely promised it. I swore it. Let me ask you this morning, what are the promises that God has given to you? I mean, we've had people who've broken their promises in our lives, right? We've had people who've not kept their oath to us. We've had people who've made empty promises. And the question is simply, the promises that God has given to you, one, do you even know what they are? Do you spend time thinking about those promises, reminding yourself of those promises? And second, will God fulfill those promises? You need to spend some time in that. What has God promised you? What has God promised you? Something. His word, by the way, is full of promises. Full of promises. It's an absolutely central to the very word of God is the promises that he's given to you. Because oftentimes, folks, honestly, a lot of it, all we have to go on is his promise. So a promise like, I am with you always to the very end of the age, Matthew 28. Is he really with me always to the end of the age? You got to wrestle with that. We hold on to that by faith. And we grab onto that baby and we take that baby to the bank. And we trust this is a God. This is not like my spouse. This is not like my neighbor. This is not a promise like the one that happened 10 years ago that got broken. This is not, it's different. This is the God of the universe who's swearing on his own life, I promise to you that I'm with you always. A promise, like I'm going to return again. Go check out Revelation. I'm coming back. That's a promise. I find myself longing for that promise to be fulfilled more and more and more. Especially as I engage with the kind of stuff in this world that I'm just more and more faced up against. The mountains of corruption and brokenness and pain and sorrow and grief and all sorts of stuff. Jesus, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Come. Come soon, Lord Jesus. Do we believe that he's actually going to come back soon? Do we believe a 1 John text that I brought up earlier about, you know, if you confess your sins, you will be forgiven? That's a promise. He's promising that to you. We hold on. Be strong and courageous. He's made you promises. Strengthen yourself with that. Become unmovable because of his word and what he's saying in your life. Does that make sense? Be strong and courageous. What's the next one? The second time, he says it the verse later, verse 7. Be strong and courageous. And this is, when I think of it, I think of preparation. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land. Okay, that's verse 6. And then verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do all according to the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. Now, there's actually promises in there. Okay, it's actually a connection back to promises. And there's certain promises in my law. If these things get fulfilled, these things will happen. If not, then this is going to happen. And so they're holding by those promises. But it's interesting that God here connects it also to Moses, who's taught these things to you. If you go study Joshua, I've spent some time this past week looking at Joshua. Joshua is spending a whole lot of time with Moses. He spends a lot of time with him. And Joshua is being prepared for this moment. For this moment. Let me ask you, are you being prepared for something? See, in our culture today, it's like, no, give me now. Give me. Me. Right now. Now. Right now. I gotta have it. I gotta do this right now. It's gotta be about right now. It's about me. It's all about me. Right now, wherever I am. I'm at Taco Bell. You didn't get my order right. It's all about me. See, for 38 years, for longer than that, God is preparing Joshua for this moment. And I just think of Joshua, who 38 years ago wanted to enter the promised land. I want to get in there. Let's get some stuff done. And God, but I wonder, I'm making a little bit of this up, but I wonder two things. I wonder if 38 years earlier, Joshua would have focused more on his sword, and less on where we find him in Joshua chapter 1. Where do we find him? Only if you have your Bibles, because I don't have it on the screen. Joshua chapter 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Arise. I love that. I don't even know exactly what that means. And I don't want to stretch it to mean more, but there's something going on where Moses is down. And the kind of preparation that was really needed was to get Joshua down. All right, now stand up. See, 38 years earlier, I wonder if Joshua would have been focusing on his right hand. Were you here last week? And this is why, don't miss. Because last week I rocked that sermon. I rocked that baby. Last week was so awesome. No, but it was. I needed to hear last week's message. Remember that? Remember that about the right hand and how God takes our right hand and goes for a little walk with us? We do that with our kids sometimes. It gets the strong hand to kind of get that out of the way. See, I think that's what's going on here, is God preparing Joshua. Joshua, it's not going to be about your strength. It's not going to be about how good you are with a sword. The Canaanites and the Hittites and the tighty whiteys, they're too strong. They're just too strong. You're going to need me. And what do we see? The first battle that takes place, right, is a story where they don't do jack. God does it. What are you being prepared for today? How is God preparing you? Some of you, I really believe, are in that season already of, God has prepared me for this moment. That's exciting stuff. I don't know exactly what that means for each of you, but I wanted to share that with you. Be strong and courageous. Look at Joshua 1:9. This is one of my favorites. I love this. Be strong and courageous because God's presence will be with you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What a promise. What a promise that God goes with you. Wherever you go, whatever you're going through, whatever obstacles are in front of you this morning, whatever land of Canaan is sitting there, whatever Jordan River's in front of you, I don't know how to get that thing to part. I don't know how to get across that thing. Whatever's right in front of you this morning. Maybe it's diseases, maybe it's sickness, maybe it's financial stuff, maybe it's relational stuff, but maybe it's, how do I move forward in my faith? How do I grow? What do I do? How do I grow in my faith? I think some of us might be asking a question like that. Like, man, just moving forward. How do I do that? God promises you, I'm with you. I'm present with you. Be strong and courageous. Strengthen yourself with the fact that he's with you. You know how often, every night, every single night with our kids, when we're doing family devotions, we make the sign of the cross over their head and their heart, and we say, Jesus is with you. Jesus loves you, and he's inside your head, and he's inside your heart. He is with you. I want my kids to know that, because there's going to say, right now, life is pretty good. You know, just give me my food, give me my cereal, Mom. But there's going to come a day when they're laying in bed, and they need to dig down. And the only way that they will be able to be made strong again, the only strength they'll be able to find, is digging way down, and Jesus is with me. That's coming. That is coming in my kid's life. That's coming in your kid's life. Last thing, Joshua 1:18. We see it again. It's interesting. God's not speaking here. God's not speaking. Joshua 1:18, check it out. The people are talking here. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Now, that's interesting, because the people tell that to Joshua. If I was Joshua and I've heard from God a bunch of a certain word, a certain phrase, and then somebody comes up to me and says, hey, man, be strong and courageous. Holy smokes. Yeah. Yeah. Let me just say this thought. You cannot do the walk with Jesus alone. You need people in your life who will come alongside you and speak truth into your life. You need people who will come alongside you and challenge you and bring you the very word of God. You need that. And I get it. Some of you have good friends. Some of you have people you could call and they would give you the shirt off their back. But that doesn't mean those are the people that you entrust with the deepest, most pieces of your life. Do you understand what I'm saying on that? I have people in my life. I have friends in my life who they're good friends. But I will not let them speak into the deepest, most needs of my heart and my life. I won't. Because I need, in those places, I need somebody to speak truth. I need somebody to speak truth. So some of us have friends and have people we get advice and little good tips from. Be careful to take some of that to the bank, folks. Who are you doing life with? And I love what the people of God here are doing. They're saying, Joshua, we'll follow you, but you need to remain connected to Yahweh. You need to remain connected to God. Because as soon as you start to not be connected to God, then we're not going to follow you. That's the wisdom. That's wise. That's wise. Who do you have in your life who's doing life with you at the deepest, most level? Speaking truth into your heart. Not just little good tips, not just little good thoughts, not just little, hey, I'll help you when you need a hand. Oh, that's a good friend. Cool. Those are good people. I have those people. I don't let them speak into my marriage. I don't let them speak into my relationship with my enemy. See, you won't get good advice there. All right, I'm wrapping this baby up. 4 points. I don't usually do this. It's kind of fun today. Just go 1, 2, 3, 4, done. What are you facing today? What are you facing? What's in front of you? Could be a lot of different things. Could be a lot of different things. But I want you to know that God has promised you certain things. He's given you promises. Take those babies to the bank. Spend some time on his promises. He's preparing you. He's doing a work in you. You remember my sermon a while back when I preached on, he's working even while we're waiting. Even as we wait, and even as in those times of, it doesn't feel like much is going on. Oh, baby, God might just be doing his biggest stuff. 38 years, turning into an old grandpa. Yeah, well, the place you needed to be was down. I'll bring you up. I'll be the one who knocks the walls of Jericho down. Not me, God. I'll be doing that kind of stuff. My presence is with you. My presence is with you. I'm with you always. Isn't it amazing to you? It amazes me in my own life. This amazes me. This is my little thought. It amazes me how often, when I look back on my life, I can honestly say, God has never let me down. I can honestly say that. God has never let me down, and I've seen how he's worked now in my past. I've just been blown away by how much he's done in my life, and yet it is so hard for me to trust him tomorrow. Do you find that fascinating? Yeah, but I don't know if you can help me with this one, God. It looks a little big tomorrow. Wow. He's with you. He's with you. And in 10 years, when you look back, you'll say, he was with me. He's with you today. And then that last one, the support of the people. Having people around you who can speak those same truths into your life. They're not speaking anything new. They're not speaking wisdom of the world. They're speaking the truth of God. Be strong and courageous. It's the same thing God said. Do you follow me? Okay, 2 of you follow me. So thankful for Jesus and what he's done for us. Let's just pray right now. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you have gone to the cross for us. That you save us from sin and death and the power of the devil. And maybe the better way to say it is the power of the sinites and the devilites and the deathites. See, we got the same problem. We got the Jordan River of death that we got to cross. We got all sorts of problems that are up against us, relational problems, financial problems, all sorts of different things. And God, you are working. You are working. You've gone to the cross for us. You've taken our sin. And ultimately, God, you are getting us down to humble ourselves. And this morning, that's what we do. We're not going to get down on our knees, but we're going to bow our hearts to you and just surrender to you. Thank you for loving us, Lord, at the most deep level. I praise you for that. Thank you for that. God, as we enter into this series on Joshua, may we not focus in on Joshua. May we focus in on you and what you're doing in the life of this guy and in the life of this people. May we come out on the other side in a couple of weeks courageous and strong, unmovable as we root ourselves in you, and as we move that unmovable force courageously forward, wherever you'd have us go, the next step that we're supposed to take. We're just going to trust in you this morning, Lord. We're just going to trust in you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen to that. Let me leave you with a blessing. May our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you and keep you this next week. May he wake you up. May he fire you up. May he snap you around. May he just slap you up a little bit. Wake up for what's in front of you. May you be strong and courageous. He's with you. He's preparing stuff for you. He's got people in your lives who he'd love you to be doing life with. And he's made some incredible promises to you. Go in peace. Amen. Have a great week, y'all. You're awesome.